If this station's not your cup of tea,
then drink coffee!
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 Drink coffee!
100% music.
100% news.
100%
information.
100% guarantee.
Thought you might say that.
London Taxi Radio, the cabby's choice.
Good evening, lovely listeners. This is Sean Paul Day, and we are live. With Annie Lennox and Aretha Franklin, no less. Always, we've got a lot to talk about, and I'll be joined in the studio by two super heavyweights. That's Scott Wolsey of Taxi App fame, and the lovely Roche, who's going to be climbing Kilimanjaro this time next year. Well, in about 10 months' time. He'll be telling me of his progress. I'm sure Kilimanjaro, well, I'm sure it fears him. Go for it, Rosh. And of course, we're here live in GSS. That's sponsored by City Diesel. Come on down. It's the lowest price in town. Support those that support the trade. By sponsoring us, I mean they host LTR live once every month. Mighty fine crew they are as well. Come on down, you might even get a London Taxi Radio sticker. How about that? You'll probably bump into Myrna, she'll be running around. The master is hanging it up, that's Jamie Owens from Cab Chat. And the programme director, Mick the Brit, is doing the rounds. Don't forget both shows, Cab Chat and Mick the Brit Pod. I'll have to come back to you on that one. It's changed its name. Broadcast. Something like that. I'll get back to you. Ooh, that's a good one to talk over. Anyway, we've got, the news from the column inches, and that is Uber driver who raped passenger said, good sex is a perk of the job. Can you believe it? Says it all. Apparently, as Uber announces they're going all electric, a new study shows that diesel cars are much cleaner. That'll make an interesting read. Are TfL's COs overstepping their authority again by demanding passengers only use re-SCC machines? We'll be discussing that because I did think there was a compellability issue that the contract lay with whoever you signed into, and you have to sign into someone, don't you? Because it's mandated. But I don't know whether it's compulsory, and does it take away choice? The thing is, the whole thing was handled shambolically, wasn't it? So, with that, I think it needs to be relooked at because I know I went from CMT. CMT was a disaster for me. And at the time, I went over to using Cab App, which I'd used for about 3 years. Now, Taxi App does a 1.5. Why should I be paying to use CMT? If it was fit for purpose at the time, and I know there's other drivers that haven't had a problem, but I did, and if it was fit for purpose for me, then I wouldn't have a problem, would I? The fact is, it wasn't, and it was embarrassing. It made me look unreliable and unprofessional, and I wasn't going to stand for it. They did quote the regulation at me, and they quoted their contract to me, not that I realised I signed one. Apparently, when I signed for taking the equipment, I signed into a contract, a three-year one at that. Wasn't aware I did it. Was I missold that? But they quoted regulation to me, so I had to quote the Consumer Act to them. Their product wasn't fit for the purpose I bought it. I think the one outweighed the other somewhat. I think it's fake news that we was hearing about cars or vehicles being able to use the cycle superhighway at off-peak times. I think that's fake news, according to Taxi Leaks anyway. Yeah, he's bound to be right. I missed him this week, Taxi Leaks guru, Jim Thomas. He's been off on his holidays. Apparently he had a bad cold. No good is that. The London Assembly state that TfL's finances are woefully inadequate, again. And this is Prince, and we can't talk over that, can we?
Chance's girlfriend came across a needle and soon she did the same. At home there are 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples, high on crack, toting a machine gun. Church and kill everyone inside. You're
turn on the telly and every other story is telling you somebody died. My sister killed a baby cause she couldn't afford to feed it. We're sending people to the moon. In September my cousin tried reefer for the very first time. Now he's doing horse. It's June.
VLTDA are in for the response of their life. It's been about a month since their AGM, and since then, 17 members have been expelled.
Baby, make a speech, Star Wars fly, neighbors should shine home.
Instead of addressing the issues within the association itself, they decide to brush it under the carpet by expelling those members that are asking all those pertinent questions that desperately need answers. You know what I say? Everybody is entitled to have an opinion on the LTDA, and with that, who is going to ask these pertinent questions? This is the active membership that go every month, or did go every month, to the branch meetings. However, those branch meetings have since been suspended, pending intimidatory tactics being used in the run-up to the election. How disingenuous is that? Nobody has complained about being intimidated. Those candidates that have been nominated submitted evidence to say that none of them felt intimidated. And of course, none of them had been intimidating. We are now nearly 5 months after the election was due to take place, and no evidence has come forward about intimidatory tactics being used in the run-up to the election. So what does that leave us? It leaves us without a branch meeting and without an election. Now, the big problem here is that means the only democratic route into the Council of Management, where is the only place you can make any kind of impact whatsoever, has been closed. So how come the LTDA is still a cooperative? There's obviously no intention to sort out these branch meetings, is there? And like I said, this is the only place that these questions can be asked. So I urge every taxi driver, because every taxi driver is affected by what the LTDA does, I urge every taxi driver to call up Taxi House every day and demand answers to questions such as what is happening with Bang Junction, what is happening to Tavistock Place, what is their position on geofencing, what is their position on the apps for that matter. I certainly don't believe in any regulation of the app, so that means anybody can get on the app that's supposed to utilise the services of taxis, anybody, and that includes Uber. So if they don't respect your licence on those apps, then we are no more than Uber drivers, are we? So what does the LTDA think about that? The only person that's gone it alone is Chris Johnson, and he's out to get some accountability with the apps, and so he's going to a tribunal case against My Taxi. What does the LTDA think about that? Surely they have a comprehensive answer to it, and if they don't, then they should support it, shouldn't they? Well, is a comprehensive answer forthcoming? I don't know. I urge every taxi driver to call up and demand one. I can't stand a non-committal attitude, and this goes for everybody. A non-committal attitude is because they don't understand it. So get your heads round it and get committed to some answers. Relax. If my taxi doesn't want to support you as a self-employed person and your work being your work, and they want to take your work, remember, off the street, if they don't want to support that, maybe they're entitled to employment payments. Anyway, we'll be calming right down, because after this, in the studio, we'll have the lovely Roche. He'll be climbing Kilimanjaro in a year's time, well, in about 10 months' time from now, and he'll have updates for us, and he'll be talking about his stringent exercise regime. How about that? I thought it'd roll off my tongue, it didn't, but he is undertaking a stringent exercising regime, and we'll be hearing all about that. And maybe the equally as lovely Scott Wolsey will be telling us about the LTDA AGM and the recording that's going to follow.
London Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
Good evening, lovely listeners. We're here at GSS. If you'd like to come down and say hello, you might even get a London Taxi app sticker. How about that? Don't say we don't give you anything. This is Word Up. The lovely Roche is ready to go. And Scott, even though he's not wearing his headphones, you see, he thinks the headphones aren't necessary because he can see my lips move. But he's there and he's ready to go. Scott, just on the back of the AGM... And I realise that, you know, might be things you don't want to say at the moment, but it's no less than outrageous what's gone on up there. And I think it needs to be broadcast, to be quite honest.
Sorry, Sean. I didn't realise you was getting me in there.
And that's it.
I need the earphones.
The headphones. Yes, you see the magic of headphones.
On the back of the AGM. Yeah, it was another... Not one of those finest hours for the LTDA, sneaking in a resolution right at the end. This time actually doing it, because I don't believe they'd done it the first time.
Well, that's what makes it worse, isn't it? Because not only was the first time engineered, but this time was incredibly engineered, because there had to be stages leading to the resolution.
Well, there should have been stages leading to the resolution, and... I personally don't think that they were done. I was told at the meeting, I produced a recording of the 2016 AGM.
Yeah.
And it finished. Steve finished the meeting. And at the end of it, you heard all the chairs getting up and people moving. And Steve said, oh, that's when it was said, when everyone was leaving. Well, that to me, you can't have it. After the meeting is closed.
No.
After the meeting is closed, it's just talk and shop. You know, the meeting's got to be open and everyone's got to be addressed for it to actually count.
Yeah, I mean, when I say things were set in place, there had to be events set in place, like suspending the central branch meeting, like banning green badges from suburban meetings or voting on suburban issues. That would have had to have been put in place in order to not let you know that a delegate was needed at the AGM.
Well, I'm a bit tired here at the moment to necessarily say everything. I've actually been expelled.
Yes, it's actually been... Well, you, I mean, you don't hold the patent on it, do you, Scott? Because you and 12 others have been expelled from the LTDA. And if people don't think that's disgusting and are not outraged by that, there's a problem. because they should be, because these are 12 of your most active drivers, drivers who want to affect change in this business or at least secure the standard-based practice we have now. These are 12 drivers that are energetic, intelligent and articulate. And these are the people that have been expelled in favour of apathy, because that's what it comes down to, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, these drivers, I never knew any of them until I started turning up at meetings. So this is, none of this has been constructed. This is just drivers coming to similar conclusions of the way we feel our association's been run. And although I've been expelled, I do not want to be expelled.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've done anything wrong either.
No, I don't. And the thing is, what was they expelled for, Scott?
Well, it seems most of them have been expelled for either retweeting. I think most of them have been expelled for retweeting what other people have tweeted. And some of us have been expelled for one tweet, maybe. I don't know. They say that it's just... there could be more, but we haven't been furnished with the more.
And yet, all 13, because we think it's 13, could be rising, but all 13 were in attendance at the AGM. What do you think happened at the AGM that made that be the catalyst for saying it was tweets? Because when we talk about the LTDA, we talk about them not being able to tell the truth, ever. They couldn't tell the truth about what colour underwear they got on, and they're surrounded by sycophants who will support that untruth. So if we think that it was what happened at the AGM, and not necessarily to do with tweets, even though it might have supported that, what do you think, or what did happen at the AGM that would give them the reason to expel the membership?
Well, I think they're fearful of their positions being threatened.
Exactly that, isn't it? So whenever they're asked a question, why don't they want the branches back, then why don't they want those branches?
Well, they don't want those branches. The way it seems, the way it's set up at the moment is that, or the way it was set up, so that's probably a better way of putting it, is we used to have about five branches when we was with ComCab. That then got reduced to three branches, two green and one yellow.
How long ago are we looking at? When you talk about the branches during ComCab days, how long ago was that?
2010.
2010. So really, 8 years.
I think it's about 8 years.
Yeah.
So that's understandable, because I would imagine it was monopolised by ComCab work. But what you've got to consider is that once we went over to just an association, it's nothing to do with radio work or anything like that. It's to do with all of our working practices. And, you know, it went dull. I mean, it proves that it went dull, because Uber come in 2012 and have caused absolute chaos. And we thought that the association, I personally thought the association was looking after us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I thought they might have had, you know, bright people doing it. It's not until such time that I've got involved and I've come across some very bright people, very, very much on the pulse of our trade. And they're the ones that I've tried to push forward to help benefit the trade. Not for my benefit, for the benefit of everyone else. And we've just been met with, with a wall of...
Well, it is a wall of resistance, but it's holding on to this kind of inactivity, which is odd, because it's almost like an active passivity. It's like holding on for dear life to not actually doing anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, Richard Massett would pipe on one member, one vote, which is great. I'm all for one member, one vote. I like it. But you can't get someone forward into the voting process to get one member, one vote. So at the moment, you've got 11 members chasing 10 positions, and they're so restrictive to try and get anyone else anywhere near it. It's almost, they've created a job for the boys.
I've just had Harry Wall just burst in. He's like the wind. You want to see him? Just like the wind. He's just burst in.
He's injured me.
Concept of radio to be, yes. Sorry?
What can I do?
Do you want to come on? You want to say a few words, Harry?
Well, I'm not particularly, I'm starving.
You just, did you hear that? He's coming up with a, you know, he's going to have his apple crumbled before he comes on the radio. How about that?
I've said enough in the past, mate. There's nothing more for me to say.
Well, come in, talk into the mic. Come on. Come on and say a few words. Come on.
I've said there's nothing more for me
to
say. Nothing
more to say. Come on.
I've said it all before, mate. Plenty. I've got bollocks anyway, didn't I?
Did you hear that? We've got to put it through iTunes now, that Harry Walsh, what I tell you. The concept of radio. Well done, Harry. No, I know you have, and we all know how, what Harry says. But, you know, it's always good to hear him anytime he wants to come on the radio.
There you go.
All right, mate. But go and have your apple crumble, Harry. It's all right. Have your apple crumble. It's all right.
I'll grab me chicken.
All right. See how he pats. Do you know what, listeners? He just patted Roshi's stomach then when he went, he's going to have his chicken first. That's what he said. He's going to have patted Roshi's stomach. How about that? Right. Harry Wall, who's like a, he's like a little spoky little thing, isn't he, Harry Wall? I've got a great picture, and I'll have to put it up there, of Scott and Harry Wall next to each other. Believe me, they're like twins. They're like separated at birth, the two of them. You want to see this picture. But it's and you know, I've got Rosh, and I'd love to see you two have one of those, you know, Big Daddy contest. Oh, we'd pay to see that, wouldn't we? We'd pay to see that. But Rosh is in the studio, so he's waited long enough. Patient as anything.
Sure.
Only good things, Rosh. Is that right?
Harry, incidentally, is half the size of me.
That's a fact, and that is a fact. Yeah. He's a little waif, isn't he? You know. If you could come a bit closer to the mic, because we want to hear everything you've got to say. So let's run with an update.
Right.
Where you're at.
We're five now. Originally, we were nine.
Nine.
Then we were seven, and now we're five.
So someone did comment, didn't they, on being 10 green bottles. So
Yeah. I mean,
what was your response to that?
Well, no, I mean, it's all in jest, isn't it? But, you know, it would be nice for people to get behind us and, you know, tweet positively about us. I don't want to sound like some grumpy old git, but
well, it is, but it is indicative of the enormity that you actually face, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Excuse my voice, by the way. I've got a bit of a chest infection. But anyway, I mean, but we're five now. It's simple as that. It's Paul, Darren, Brian, John and myself. We're all, we're the hardcore. We're going to see this through to the bitter end.
And people really have picked up on it, haven't they? I mean, you've got some mainstream, I mean, more mainstream attention than I've known the cab trade to have for anything that isn't negative. Well, do you know what I mean?
It was identified from day one that we need professional help to get our voices out there. So the lovely Christina from Bowden PR got on board very quickly. And she's been instrumental in getting us on ITV, BBC, some of the mainstream media, radio, whole lot.
The thing is, it would have to appeal to her as well. And it is something that does appeal to people, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not just the five fat blokes. Fat cabbies.
Sitting on the wall.
No, sitting on the wall, yeah, right. Yeah. It's not just five fat cabbies.
Yeah.
You know, we could apply the same thing to a lot of the population out there.
That's right.
It's appealing, if that's the right word or not, yeah. I don't know, but it's appealing to a lot of people outside of our trade.
And what was the reasons they gave for not pursuing it? Because it does seem like, I mean, it is a big, if I thought I'd got to do it, I'd think, oh, what a slog. Well, but...
No, I mean, you're referring to the guys that have dropped out?
Yeah.
Well, no, they had their own personal reasons. It's not for me to come on the radio and give those reasons. They had their own personal reasons. We're not going to fall out over it. That's it. You know, we've got a big job on our hands, the five that are left, and we're going to get on with it.
No, that's right. And is it okay with the team that are taking you out there if it whittles down to just you, say?
Yeah, that won't happen. But, yeah absolutely.
In theory,
we've kept... We've kept everyone informed, the sponsors, the people, Action Challenge, who are taking us out there. They all know the situation, and it's absolutely fine.
But I think even when you look back on it, even those that dropped out, this is part of the story of climbing Kilimanjaro,
yeah,
isn't it?
It was always going to happen, you know. You know, I had this bright idea we'd take a load of fat cabbies up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, as things progress, people's lives, things happen in people's lives. They can't make it for this reason or the other. And... you know, they drop out. It's not the end of the world. The hardcore left, and we're going for it.
I can see the weight is falling off you.
Thank you.
It's not
is
as, it?
No, well, It's not as much as a couple of the others. Brian's already a stone down.
Right.
John is not far behind him.
Yeah.
I've got to pull my finger out of my backside and get on with it. But on this, on that note, this week, this Wednesday,
that'd lose you some weight, wouldn't it? That if you did that.
This Wednesday is very important. It's a very important day for us because we start our training and nutrition regime with Be Military Fit. First session is on Wednesday.
Right.
And that is going to go on now for the next 12 months until we're to the at the summit.
Do you have anything in mind what you're going to be doing?
The training session, no. Not yet.
No, really? So no. You're just turning up there?
We're turning up.
In your Lycra?
Yeah, in the Lycra. Right. In the Lycra and, you know, on cycling.
Cycling, yes.
I'm joking. But I don't want to lose Brian.
Two sizes too small, singlet. Yeah, I know what it's like.
We're turning up at 7 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday.
Cool.
Nice and bright and early. Tommy, who's co-owner of Be Military Fit, the other owner is Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls won't be there on Wednesday, but Tommy will be taking the first session with us. It will be...
And Military Fit, who are Military Fit?
Be Military Fit. Well, it's an organisation. They predominantly hold exercise classes outside.
Right.
If you see, you know, you go through any of the parks, Regent's Park, I've often seen them. That's Be Military Fit. They're up and down the country. They've taken us under their wing. It was actually through Lee. Cab Vision, who's...
Oh, yeah, Lee DaCosta.
Lee DaCosta, us.
Good supporter of the cab trade,
massive supporter of us as well.
Oh, right, okay.
It was contact through Lee. Be Military Fit took us under their wing and providing the training and nutritional support for the next year.
Right, okay. Well, wow. Yeah. So, but that must give you a real boost because the perspective you have on it for a year.
Yeah, no, you absolutely. Know? Well, it's a professional, they're a professional organisation. We identified, as I said before, we identified from day one, we need professional help.
Yeah.
This is just not a bunch of amateurs. Well, sorry, it is a bunch of amateurs doing something that's quite extraordinary. And we need help. And we're a great team of fat cabbies, an absolutely superb team. But the team behind us are phenomenal. You know, the people like Big Military Fit, Lee DaCosta.
Yeah.
You know, all the other sponsors, UCG, the LCDC, Taxi App, Ubiquitous. They're all coming on board. They're all following us. They're all sponsoring us. Cab App is the latest sponsor to come on board. And they all bring with them their expertise, their contacts, and their support.
Yeah.
And it's phenomenal how this has exploded in less than 2 months.
Well, it will be fantastic exposure for everybody else as well, won't it?
The trade... Yeah, as you know, Sean, you know, the trade is dominated by negativity.
Yeah.
Some of it is unwarranted.
Yeah.
Some of it is self-made. But, you know, something like this that comes along, which is really positive, appeals to a lot of people, or, you know, it diverts some good energy.
Yeah, it does. We are in need of that. We are in need of that. Scott, this could be coming your way, couldn't it? I mean, he's just had a leisurely holiday. Where was he?
I had a leisurely holiday in Indonesia. I went to see my son who was travelling.
Fantastic, yeah. His son as well, this is the first family of the cab trade, folks, I'll have you know. Scott's whole family, his wife, his lovely wife, Jane, I've got to say, and his two boys, all are cab drivers. No wonder they've got the life of Riley. But see... Well, compared to mine, everybody has, so there you go, it's all right. But he got his badge, and he wasn't long after he decided to go away, yeah.
Yeah, he worked excessively hard.
Yeah.
He's always wanted to travel, and that was... And I think that he got caught up in wanting to travel more than what he did, wanting to do the knowledge, I think.
Yeah, that can be a case in point, can't it?
But when he got his badge, he went out there, and he's grafted, and... Yeah, he'd been away for 6 months. He's since come back. He had a job lined up in Australia, which fell through. And he's come back to do a few more months' work here, and he's back off to Australia.
I mean, it's a long way to go, isn't it, Australia, to drive a tuk-tuk?
Yeah, I suppose.
You know what I mean? He's better off here. He's better off here. But that, again, is another great thing about the cab trade, isn't it? That you can actually get your badge and go away for 6 months. You know what I mean? What other job could you do that?
It's a fantastic job for a young person that wants to be free from all of the other restrictions life puts upon you.
It is. And I think sometimes when you've been in it as long as we have, Not as long as the master, Jamie Owens. I mean, he's been in it since the beginning of time, hasn't he? Since he's out there, he's watching. If you're a batter, you're a batter if you've been doing the job under 25 years, apparently, according to Jamie. But, it's great. For the younger ones coming out, it's still a great job to do. And I think it's worth remembering that, isn't it? So what have you got for us this week? I know you're probably dominated, aren't you, by what happened at the LTDA. And I am, to be quite honest, and I'm not even a member. And I haven't been a member for about 2 years. Because I was also expelled, not through dissimilar reasons, actually, through being active and telling the truth. And if telling the truth can be considered as injurious, well, we should all have an issue with it, I think. We should all have an issue with that. But what else has stuck out for you this week, if anything?
There's the Chris Johnson's... You know, chasing down, having proper regulations within the app market. That's something that we're trying to bring to Taxi App.
Right.
Proper contract between, you know, driver and app. Well, with Taxi App, you are your boss. Yeah. So you endorse your own rules. And
I think there is this misconception a little bit. I mean, I think some drivers think it's going to the High Court. It's not. It's a tribunal case, and this is what it's concerned with. It's concerned with accountability, really, and being able to just, deactivate, and we do love that word, deactivate, don't we? It does remind us of Logan's Run. If you're of an age, you must remember Logan's Run. Reminds us of that. It is about accountability and, you know, putting these parameters in and us drivers having a say in these parameters being set. Otherwise, we won't have a say. The app companies, the corporate app companies, will set those parameters. And I think unless we do something now, when we hear the rumblings that, you know, they're taking control, have the controlling capacity, I think it's then too late. So I think it's a good thing just to get some, play a part in it anyway.
I think it's the being deactivated with no say whatsoever. There's no procedure to go through. You don't know. You don't. They don't even have to tell you what you're being deactivated for. There's no. Well, you have to go to a tribunal, it seems, to get any justice, and that isn't what it should be. There should be a written procedure there that you go through, and if you've done wrong and done something injurious, and you already know that beforehand, well then so be it. You get the punishment or the. The justice that's there amongst other drivers.
But the interesting thing is, it's not really concerned with the content. It's concerned with the fact that they can do that at any time.
They could do
it to an individual or en masse. They could say, right, okay, if we went through a particular lull, and that would be dependent on the policymakers we have in, say, City Hall, if we went through a real long, prolonged low drive, then you could say, they might say, right, we take on private hire. And then you could be swamped by private hire and you wouldn't have a say in it because we were going through a particular lull at that time. At the moment, it's quite buoyant, so it probably wouldn't be like that. But we can't rule it out because there's been no shift in policy or shift in emphasis to defend the cab trade.
Well, I just see, Sean, you're saying about that. In 2021, Addison Lee believed they're going to have autonomous vehicles on the road.
2021?
Yeah,
that's only around the corner.
Yeah, it's only around the corner.
We'll get to sleep tonight, wake up, it'll be 2021, right?
I don't believe that, but it's a possibility. If they're talking about it, it's a possibility. So you're saying these other apps could do quite the same. You know, they could bring along autonomous vehicles and say, well, we're just going to sit them alongside you. I mean, there has been precedents put there.
Well, the interesting thing in that is I had... what's the leading one in automation? Is it Telstar? Is it
Tesla?
Tesla. See, Telstar. Telstar's a much better name. I thought it'd roll off my tongue when I thought I'd get to the word. It didn't quite roll off my tongue, did it? But Tesla had a fella from Tesla here in some kind of seminar conference, holding the conference. So he was particularly big in Tesla. And he said, because I said to him, okay, we're getting black cabs as well. There's Tesla getting black cabs. So, you know, he hasn't ruled us out. But I said to him, I said, okay, come on. I want it, you know, hit me between the eyes with it. When will Tesla put me out of a job? And he went, well, he said they could put you out of a job tomorrow, automation. He said, no problem.
I said, but the thing is, there's secondary issues that we can't get our heads around dealing with. And he said, the major one is, he said, if I threw a rubbish bag in the middle of a road, in front of an automated vehicle, he said it would stop there and just stop and stop and stop and stop. And it wouldn't know what to do because it couldn't differentiate between that and a human being. So can you imagine with the kids around, all that they would have to do, throw a bin rubbish bag in front of an automated vehicle, and the whole of London would grind to a halt in 5 minutes.
It'd be great fun for the cyclists, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it just? But this is a thing. I think, because they were saying, we don't know. We can't say whether it'll be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. They said, we can't say it because we don't know how to deal with these secondary issues. And I think the only way they will deal with it is by changing the law. If you throw a rubbish bag in front of an automated vehicle, that has to be a fine. Doesn't it? You can see that happening because business call the shots, don't they? And if this is big business saying, yes, we are having this, and there is an automated race going on, like the Space Wars, isn't there? Who can get it there first? And I think because there's so much business involved in it, and we're this dinky little trade keeps stopping, preventing some of that business, then I think they'll go, OK, well, we have to come up with new laws. Yes, Rosh, go ahead.
Back on ground zero. Mm-hmm. What these politicians, these investors, these big names, these corporates fail to understand.
Oh, there's a lot, Rosh.
Or grass.
Yes.
Is, you know, just back on ground zero, when it comes to a point of someone jumping off that building over there because they can't feed their family anymore, because an app has taken over their skilled job,
yeah,
there's something is going wrong. There's a line in the sand that has to be drawn and not crossed. So a lot of these companies and these corporations have failed to take, they've taken the humanity out of what they're doing. And they're ruining and wrecking people's lives.
Oh, do you know what? I think that is one of the most pertinent things that can be said, actually, Rosh. And I'm glad you said it, because I don't think you can reduce cities to, like, just these kind of, this data, you know, which is what they're doing, isn't it? You look at City AIM and everything's reduced to these pie charts, and it's always pale blue, pastely colours, isn't it? I don't think you can reduce cities to that. They're so much more complex than that, aren't they? You know, and I think it's one of those things where you go, OK, you take out the humanity. You take out the relational aspect of life, don't you? Yeah. So, look, you've got all these, even with Uber, you've done away with the relational aspect and you don't care. You don't want your driver to talk. Addison Lee doesn't want their drivers to talk to their passengers. Now, there's some passengers who value that. I know a lot of our clientele want that interaction. I think that interaction is relational issues, isn't it?
I'll come back to you about the relationship. I've just with my niece this afternoon and She went to a shop and she had something with, got shortchanged or something like that. And she said she trusts a computer more than a person. This is how our young people are being institutionalised, is that, you know, 8-year-olds being basically, yeah, you know, ushered down a blind alley that they're not going to realise it's destroying their world and not ours.
Well, to be quite honest, it might be worse for those, our generation, you say, that's been shunted into having to provide this kind of non-relational aspect of work. It's a bit like the ones in Marks and Spencer's on Moorgate. Occasionally I go in there and used to have a chat with one or two of the cashiers. But they've been put in this like conveyor belt system where it's one conveyor belt for all of them. And there is no time that, you know, that you can see them being pushed through. And whereas you might stop for a couple of minutes if it was quiet and chat to them, you can't. It's just an odd system. And I just think that's very impersonal, isn't it? That's turning them into, they're turning into autonomous themselves, aren't they? And I think that's a shame. So the kids might not know any different. And that's it, and it's just different because you could say there's no bad, or, you know, if they don't know any better. But for those of us who knew differently, then that's a difficult thing to do, isn't it, when you're just shunted into this position?
If there was no need for human beings to exist, God wouldn't have put us here in the first place.
Well, there you go. There you go. Maybe it was him, the other one, put us here. Oh, you got to watch him. You got to watch him. He's a scene stealer, that one. You got to watch him. But, yeah, that's it, isn't it? And I think everything, that the old personal approach, I mean, I don't know how teachers last in their jobs anymore, because it's based on the lowest common denominator, isn't it, that some teacher might at some point do something and they can't do their job anymore because they haven't got that individuality they can bring to it. I think it's a real shame. But we're going to be back just after this.
Circle in the sand, round and round, rising up.
Difficult to talk through a little bit of Prince, isn't it? Apparently, during there's court action being taken against Hackney Council, isn't it, about the road closures in Shoreditch. That's Willow Place and Ravis Street. You're allowed to enter, at the moment at least, you're allowed to enter through Ravis Street into Willow Place to drop at the hotel there. But you also have to leave via that route, so just keep that in mind. You're not allowed into the other roads, and I don't know why we shouldn't be. I think anybody, any decent person, would get a taxi thinking that you would drop them at their destination, wouldn't they? And that creates a two-tier system, doesn't it, in the trade? Two-tier system in the trade. Get could also be party to a two-tier system in the trade by offering an electric option. So the LCDC, that did a lot of freedom of information requests and got those requests, a lot of information there. I don't know whether they could be considered as illegal, but they certainly would be frowned upon if brought to light. A lot of that information has gone into the UTAG initiative, which is a great thing, isn't it? Like rain falling on a window pane. Remember, UTAG have already JR'd the licensing decision by TfL. My fear was that the Mish Condorea case would prevent any other action or prevent drivers from participating in any other action because it would be a conflict of interest. Can't really do that now, can they? Because their case hasn't started. Nothing against their case, but it hasn't started, and UTAG has by JRing the licensing decision. I did meet up with Ange and Trevor and Lee DeCosta, and there was Gary from who was London Taxi PR. Met up with them, had a little bit of a meeting just to see a way forward, because, you know, the cabbies being cabbies, how would they tackle this? And it was good to have, again, Lee DeCosta on board. Now, look, as far as business in the trade goes, there's always going to be a conflict of interest, isn't there? But as far as business in the trade goes, you could look at people like Cabvision and Plan Insurance as being as good as it gets. Certainly very supportive of the cab trade, and
quite informative as well. Certainly Plan Insurance write to, well, they have a blog. They write to their members and let them know what's going on in the trade, which is always useful. Again, I'm not saying it's not without conflict because they're business in the trade, but you need business in the trade, and that's a good thing. And it's a good thing we have some business in the trade because there isn't that many around that like us too much. I don't know why. And we certainly do need business because TfL's not paying much attention to regulation, are they? Neither is the LTDA, for that matter. We'd like to know their thoughts, and I think every driver out there can have an opinion on the LTDA because Bob Oddy served for 8 years on the board of directors there, so he was making decisions while all this came about. They're also the trade organisation that's been party to the Taxi Task and Finish report. Whatever you think of that, they was party to it and have signed it off, so they are answerable to the whole trade and not just their members. That includes the 13 that they've expelled. I think all cab drivers should call up the LTDA and ask them specifically where they stand on Bank Junction. What's happening with that? Where do they stand on? Wait for it, they're going to like this one. Regulation of the apps. You've also got Tavistock Place that needs re-looking at, doesn't it? Because that came about when they couldn't differentiate between taxis and private hire as far as the accident stats and sexual assault stats went. Now they can, so maybe it should need revisiting. Revisiting? I don't think the LTDA bothered to go there in the first place. Scott's got a great camera on that phone of his. I tell you what, it wipes the floor with the iPhone camera. Mind you, the iPhone camera isn't too bad on this new one, Scott. But still, when you see Scott's phone, I'm always envious of this camera he's got. And he's just taken a HD picture of me. And here comes another one up. And which side do you want, Scott? Look at him with his balletic pose stretched out to get the best shot. Best shot, come on.
Those final ones I spent with you, I would give everything I own, give up my...
This is Boy George. This was his comeback tune after his overdose, if you remember, all that time ago. Didn't lose his house up at Hampstead Heath there, did he? On East Heath Road? See, I did do the knowledge. So, Roche, I'm still intrigued back to Kilimanjaro because it's probably been about a month since we chatted.
Yeah.
And there seems to be a lot of updates. We saw on, I think it was this morning or good morning, that was an early start.
Yeah. There's a lot of updates. I mean, a lot has gone on in the last sort of 7 weeks. We just this last weekend, four of the guys, I couldn't make it because I've got a chest infection. But they went on a big 5-mile hike in Shorewood.
Oh, I'd have a chest infection if I got to go on a 5-mile hike.
Oh, no, it was fantastic. We tweeted about it and it looked absolutely fabulous. So, you know, we're going to do that sort of thing on a regular basis. And incidentally, any cab driver that wants to come on those walks, please get in touch. You know, part of what we're doing is trying to inspire other people. So if you fancy coming on one of the walks, I'm not going to say if you're a fat cabbie like us, but if you fancy coming on one of the walks, it doesn't matter if you're fat or not, just get in touch with us.
Well, that'd be good, wouldn't it, just for the crack?
It's a great thing to do. I mean, you know, the lads really enjoyed it. They were, you know, they were sweating and panting, and they, you know, they found a local pub. Incidentally, this local pub, after they finish the walk, are going to support us. They're going to do some specials on the menu.
Oh, brilliant.
In the name of Cabbies Do Killy. So it's good. It's all about networking and creating contacts.
So they can find all these details out. If they wanted to go on one of these walks with you, they could get these details off Twitter, off the website.
On to our Twitter account, at Cabbies Do Killy. We're on Instagram, Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro.
Brilliant.
Tracy is building a website at the moment.
Yeah, so I've got to send her a couple of things through, yeah.
Yeah, she's asked for you to...
You've got to remember, this isn't just for them. This is done in aid of the taxi charity. And it used to be the taxi charity for the war disabled, didn't it? And it is, what is it now? You'll correct me.
Taxi charity for military veterans. And on that note, we've got a few things lined up. On the 9th of November... we've got a charity cab wash. Charity cab wash down at the Iron Lung.
There you go.
Iron Lung. £10 inside and out. We've got some...
You know what comes to mind, don't you?
Good people looking after us down there and supplying the equipment. But all the money's going to go to charity. We'll get a couple of veterans down there. It'll be a good thing. It's just before Remembrance Sunday as well. So a lot of the guys are going to need their cabs cleaned for that weekend. Because of good work that Poppy Cabs are doing.
Poppy Cabs, yeah, that's Mike Hughes from Poppy Cabs. I see him occasionally at about 3 a.m. because he has a dual licence, you know, Mike Hughes does. I think his wife has it at Brighton and he has a London licence as well. I think there's some laundering going on. No, he's a good lad. At Poppy Cabs, yeah. It's always a very humbling day as well, Poppy Cabs.
It's fantastic. And the cab wash that we're going to do, you know, obviously it's an aid of taxi charity. All the proceeds will go to taxi charity. And on taxi charities, you can see it's not very good on radio, I know, but we've been putting a lot of these donation tins around.
Yeah, good, good.
Paul, the good Paul, is responsible for that, and he's distributing them, all the cafes, shelters, garages. You'll spot one of them, and they love paper. They're not particularly interested in coins.
Is it still legal, this kind of money?
Plastic. They love plastic.
plastic.
Yeah, they love all that. So if you see one of those, don't be shy. Stick your money in. It's all going to the charity.
It's worth pointing that out because I don't think we see them anymore. Or we think the corner shop's bagging them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they're bright red, our ones, and they're quite distinctive.
Yeah.
They're bright red. They've got Taxi Charity for Military Veterans written all over them. It's a little bit... The label has got 7 London cab drivers. They were printed before 2 of them dropped out.
Right, so okay. Well, that's part of the cause. But, so we've got to give it up again for City Diesel. This is GSS, City Diesel at GSS, which already has the lowest price fuel in London and also is putting one of those out. I know he's holding some taxi app stuff and he's putting up the stickers for London Taxi Radio. So give it up for City Diesel at GSS.
The... sponsorship forms. Sorry, I didn't mention the sponsorship.
No, you must. Yeah,
we're distributing sponsorship forms as well as the donation tins. If any driver wants to put one in their partition, please get in touch with us. Just contact any of us, or contact me, or contact us through at Cabbies Do Killy on the Twitter account. We will give you one of the sponsorship forms,
right?
And you can collect on our behalf. We're very, very grateful. We've got all that going on. We've got a quiz night at the Rugby Tavern the 12th of December. We're looking for raffle prizes, by the way. If anyone's generous enough to donate a raffle prize, we will gratefully receive that. So it's all going well. It's all going very well. The PR's going really well. We're out there. Most people know about us. The hard work, I mean, it's all well and good us going on telly and radio and all that. It's all very nice and glamorous, but the hard work hasn't started yet. The hard work will start on Wednesday, when 5 London fat cab drivers get going and get sweaty with Be Military Fit.
Right, Be Military Fit. How about that? We must give them a shout out because I presume they're doing it for a you know, grand old price. No,
well, no, absolutely
there you go.
Not.
Be Military Fit.
Absolutely
then.
Not. They're doing this out of the goodness of their heart.
Brilliant.
But they also see this as a way into the taxi trade because let's face it, 50% of us are a bit on the porky side. So,
50%.
Yeah, I would say 50%, 60 maybe. But so they're seeing it as a way into maybe getting hold of a few more cab drivers in the future.
Scott, you've got slim boys. So, what comes first? Is it the cab driving or the person? Does the person become bigger and think, you know what, I'd better become a cabbie, or does it happen the other way around?
I think most of us join the trade, and we're quite
We're a lot fitter than when we leave it. I know that much.
You could say that. I mean, because your lads are still mighty fine, fighting shape, long distance lads, aren't they?
Well, I think they're starting to put a little bit of timber on.
Wait till I see him. You got a bit of news for us, have you?
Yeah, we've got. On the part with the taxi charity, the taxi app themselves are taking the War Widows to and from.
Yeah, good.
From their residences to the Albert Hall on the 10th of November.
Yeah. And again, like I say, we've done stuff before with Taxi Up, but it's a humbling thing, isn't it, to do it for the war veterans? Because they've always, and I tell you what, this is a good thing as well. They've always got a good story to tell you. And there will come a time, and I think I spoke with you, Rosh, about this before, there will come a time not too far in the future where they won't be around and you won't be hearing these stories firsthand anymore. Which is a travesty, isn't it? But you'll be hearing passed down stories, which isn't quite the same.
Their living history is just wonderful.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
You know, they've gone through a generation that I don't know, we don't can truly appreciate. So our children and their children, it'll be a completely different world. I mean, we've advanced so quickly over the last 100 years.
And unbelievably about it as well, they seem, I don't know who is in awe as much, whether it's the cab driver hearing these phenomenal stories or them knowing that they've got a free ride. I mean, it's quite incredible that the gratitude from them just knowing that they've got a ride to the Union Jack Club.
And they're all fantastic characters.
Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. There was one who joined you on that Good Morning Show, wasn't it?
Well, on ITV London News, Ray, the good Ray, he's 99 and a half.
You see, this is it.
And he said to us, I'm semi-retired.
Semi-retired, yeah. Well, good, he's doing well, but it wasn't cab driving, was he? That's the thing.
What a star. What a star. He was such a lovely bloke. And they all are.
Yeah. So, Scott, do you have any news for us?
Yeah, I've got a little bit of news. I've read recently about Metrocab Fraser Nash being taken to court by the HMRC. They've given £100,000 up towards that, but HMRC are not, you know, they want it all, which is £1.6 million, I believe.
So this is them bringing in the receivers?
I think so, right. Yeah. I think that's what seems to be on the cards for them, unfortunately.
So where does this leave Metrocab?
Well, I think it leaves them very vulnerable. It could be that another Chinese firm might come in and pick the bones. I mean, rather than trying to rescue them and keep them afloat as partners, I think they might try and...
I tell you what, Metrocab, it's history of Metrocab, though, isn't it? It really has been a cutthroat business for them, hasn't it, right from the start?
Well, I think LEVC put the nail in their coffin with going to court about the shape of their taxi. That stopped them going into production and being the first ones to market. And that in itself is where all their investors started to pull out because they couldn't get in the market.
Mind you, I remember that they didn't win that case, did they, LEVC? Metrocab won it. They was allowed to come back onto the market. But if they didn't win it, all that lost time, I mean...
Well, they did win it.
They did win it, okay. They've
won it in the fact that Metrocab had gone under. They've prevented them from having competition. That's effectively what it is. I've got nothing against LEVC. I think it's a marvellous cab. I do. I think it's a great cab. But I would like two marvellous cabs
or three.
Make
no mistake about it, that were very distinguishable as taxis, not just any,
yeah, well, I mean, you know. Coming to that, I mean, I don't know if I mentioned it last time when I was with you, Sean. Nissan have put back coming online, it was meant to be this October, and that's since been put back till March.
That doesn't sound promising, because when we spoke to them, and I think it was just after the work, because they came to the LTDA branch meeting, didn't they?
They did, yeah. I mean, Anthony and Peter managed to get them to showcase the cab. I mean,
and they did, they really did, didn't they?
They did. I mean, we didn't get that from LEVC, I mean, and others, and Metrocab. That's exactly where they should be bringing new goods, be it meters, credit card machines or whatever. That's where it should be showcased before it's actually put in our cabs.
Is it a shame? I mean, because they were good reps for, it's not Nissan, is it? It's Dynamo.
Dynamo, yeah.
Yeah, it's Dynamo. They were good reps because they spoke really well, but you was given the impression that they would be bringing one into London the following week and that it would be pretty much up and running, which is a shame.
Well, I think that's exactly what they did think, but their technical team have sort of, which is the ones that actually build it, they've had to drag them in because there's only certain amount of time you can get passing these things through the Euro red tape, basically.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did think it was an ugly vehicle, though. I did. I looked at it and think, oh, no, I couldn't. But I tell you what, I look at the LEVC, and it's huge, but I remember the Metro, I think, is even bigger than the LEVC. It's like a house. But it, unbelievable, really, because I do look at that LEVC and think, you know what, that is a big, big cab. It's bigger than the Vito.
I never noticed that, maybe because the Vito just seems like a bread van.
It's probably about the same size, isn't it? I mean, it's not as high as the Vito, but in length and width, I think it's the same size.
It's just, it is big. I'm surprised it is so big, but I guess, you know, because I can't imagine, and I can't imagine, if we go 20, 30 years from now, I imagine taxis won't be like that. I imagine they'll be like these two little seater zip car things. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Zipping around, lots of them. It didn't matter if half your family's in that one or in this one. All zipping around on prescribed routes. It's going to be nasty. I'll tell you what as well, cyclists, buses, whoever you are on the road, you want to keep taxis on the road, because if taxis are on the road, you're going to be on the road. Do you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. If taxis are gone, that's it. That's your lot. Everybody's gone. Do you know? So when the time comes and they start going, oh, Luddite taxis, because they will, because that'll be the spin, won't it? Don't want to have automated taxis and all that. Well, as long as taxis on the road, you're safe. The minute taxis are gone, they're coming after you. Believe me.
Well, they won't be able to work the two of them together, will they?
No.
I mean, we've already said that about a rubbish bag. So what would something going along at 20 mile an hour, weaving in and out of traffic, stopping all the vehicles?
The trouble is, Scott, I still have 40 years left in the game. And I mean, it's all right for you two in the autumn of your careers, but you know, but it is, you've got young boys coming in, you know, they're going through the knowledge, doing what we did, aren't they? And it is, you know, it's a long haul, isn't it? Longer probably than what we did. And, you know, they plan to be in it for life, don't they? And,
yeah, well,
you
there know. Is a future in our trade, but we yes, have to no fight doubt. For it.
No, no
we
doubt
can't
about
let
it.
Others. We can't let others yeah, do our bidding exactly for that. Us without exactly. without participating. And participation and working together works. That's the way I see it, is you've got to come together. You've got to work to benefit yourself, and in benefiting yourself, you're benefiting everyone else.
So again, absolutely, couldn't say it better myself. And there are initiatives in the trade, firmly trade. So there's Taxi App, there's London Taxi PR. Roche's Kilimanjaro. I mean, there you go. That's a great initiative for the trade. And these are things that we should be supporting. I think we have a history of being very slow to support good initiatives, especially good initiatives that have been set up by drivers. But I think that's got to change, because we have to think more business-like. And if we're operating as sole traders, each individual of us has to think business-like, because you'll be held back by those who don't, I think.
Is that right, Roche? I heard the LEVC might be helping you out in some way.
Well, funny you mention that, Scott. They've agreed to airlift a brand-new electric cab to the summit of Kilimanjaro with Sean sitting in it. And unless they sell 20,000 of these brand new TXEs in between now and then, they'll be leaving Sean at the top.
Where I belong.
So I you make of that what you will.
I think everyone will be going out buying those electric cabs now.
Well, there you go. You'll see, I'll wave to you like that, I'm on my way up. You know, maybe we will go back to simpler times. Maybe it'll be like the hot air balloon and things like that, you know, if you can afford it.
You could just see him being airlifted to the top.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No, in the TXE.
No, look, we're working on teleportation. We won't have any of that time stuff. We'll be there before you know it. Private hire, incidentally, I've got the flying carpet. Didn't work, did it? Flying carpet. We've got teleportation. That's better than the flying
Can
carpet.
Can I just mention plan? Sorry, Sean.
Go on. No, you must.
You talked about plan earlier on.
Yeah.
They very kindly offered a £25 discount on your quotation for motor insurance if you quote Cabbies Do Kilimanjaro.
How about that? You see, this is business in the trade. This is working alliances, working relationships. This is what we was always talking about. Building healthy relationships, working alliances with business, because we need business. And, you know, if we go under, they go under. They realise that. But also, we need to have that business in our trade, because we don't have regulation. And we didn't need to court business before, did we? Because we had regulation. Now we need to court business just a little bit to make it healthy for us and healthy for them. Don't you think, Scott? Taxi app's another case in point. Good to have a taxi app update if there's one forthcoming.
Well, I've got a little update for the drivers. I've been putting out a few messages just recently about we've got a branch meeting, if you could call it that. It's a meeting of drivers. That's tomorrow at the Rugby Tavern at 8 o'clock. I would like as many drivers as possible to turn up. There's room for 50 or more if they choose.
There's a funny thing, isn't it? Because you get lots of drivers inquiring or saying certain things on social media, but when it comes to turning up and being able to ask whatever they want or see whatever they want or talk to the people they want to talk to on Taxi App, they don't bother coming, do they? You know.
Well, I don't know whether they feel that their input is not valued, and it's very much it is valued. There's to say that we know better than anyone else is a fallacy, and it's not true. You know, there's many drivers that have got many different skills in doing many different things. Yeah. They know many people that can aid us as a trade. If it's not our app, it's something else. And that meeting, I put the date in again, Sean. It's the 23rd of October, because it all right. depends when someone might be listening to this.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So that's Tuesday the 23rd, 8 p.m.
Right, okay. And I think it is good that they get involved. And I think part of the problem with the app-based companies, there is a lack of, going back to the relational thing, a lack of contact, a lack of interaction between either the people running the company or just drivers. And I think that promotes that lack of interaction. And so if there's a meeting like that, then everybody benefits by them getting involved.
Well, we'd welcome people coming there to help mould the app, yeah, the way that they would like it to go.
Yeah.
You know, that is essential that we all don't just pay money in thinking someone else is doing it for us. That is effectively what's got us into the place where we are now.
Yeah, and remember, Taxi App has declared itself as applying for hire app. So there you go. It's your work. Always was your work. Not quite the same in My Taxi's terms and conditions. Now, I'm, you know, choice is absolute as far as I'm concerned. Think about the choices you make, but in the terms and conditions, there you go. That it is firmly and clearly their work, and you have a compellability to fulfill their work. It's not your work anymore. And that's Chris Johnson's case. Worth looking into, because I don't think it's quite as it seems when you first glance at it.
Yeah, Chris Johnson's case is, I think, is very important to clarify what work you're doing and who you're doing it for and where the future of your work could be. I mean, whether we like it or not, apps have become very popular. I'm quite happy for all the work to be on the street and for the app to be used when it's necessary, when someone's at the top of a block or that they, you know, an app's not necessary in Thrift Street. You know, when we've got hundreds of cabs going backwards or forwards, it's not necessary on any station or port when we've got cabs waiting there.
I tell you what, Mark, on that point, Mark Turner once said to me, he said, I can't believe it. He had an old deer come up. I mean, a real old deer, you know, that would have been long before apps came about. She came up and said, how do I book one of you? Not knowing that she could just get in it. And I just think it's been filtered. It's been engineered to be filtered out of the consciousness of the public, hasn't it? That we are not an option. And that hasn't been promoted. That hasn't been championed.
Well, I'd take you back to what my niece did, wanting to use a computer. Yeah, wanted to use a robot instead of a human being. And that is our problem. If we don't promote ourselves and what we do, people will want to use robots. They'll feel happier using a robot than having that communication with a human being.
Well, because they would have always used it, wouldn't they?
That was the old Uber's ideology. That's what's encouraged. I mean, they don't even know we take credit card. That's how much we've been promoted. They don't know that they can get any means of payment most drivers will take.
Well, I mean, some drivers have upgraded from a Tesco's bag to a vest over the credit card system, but it's all right. They're nearly there, nearly there. No, they haven't. We're all fully, you know, mandated. We've all been mandated.
We've all
got to take it.
Vests on.
The thing is as well, it's the chip and pin feels like an eternity now, doesn't it? When they've got, contactless, you know, just tap and go. Now, I know people go, oh, I've lost a bit of money, because occasionally, and it's happened to me twice, I think, I've let them go before it's authorised. It's a rarity, but you don't want it happening at all, do you? But when they've got to put their chip and pin in now, that feels like, you know, that the eternal wait when the ping on the washing machine goes and then you have the wait before the door releases. Yeah, yeah. And it feels like 100 years, doesn't it? That it's like counting time. This is the same, isn't it?
No, what I would say, though, Sean, is that you shouldn't go against that, because that's a human interaction, right? And that means something. No, it is. It's a human interaction. And when you just click in and click out, you are a robot.
That's right.
Right? And we are not robots. So enjoy that time with your customer. Say thank you for using a taxi or whatever it is. Have that interaction. Tell them to have a good day.
Yeah.
Tell them about Kilimanjaro.
Tell them about Kilimanjaro. Hopefully you're using the 1.5% on PayPal through Taxi App.
There you go.
Right? That's... Well, the drivers get what we get it for.
Again,
that is what it's about. If we could get it cheaper, the drivers would get it cheaper.
And this is the interesting thing, isn't it? Because we're not used to it, an offset payment. Now, we use the money coming through the window for the journey we've given. That is it. That's as far as we go. And if we've done our money at the end of the day, that's all we can. That's the best we can hope for. But an offset payment with Taxi App, because if you're on CMT or something like that, you're paying like 3.9 plus the 20 pence. The saving you make on the PayPal on all your jobs, you are saving that £5. So the £5 prepayment needs a prepayment because it needs stability. But you save on that. It's basically negligible. It's not costing you anything to be on the app. But it's an offset payment, so we don't always get that. But the reality is you're not really paying anything to be on the app.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, what we need is people on Taxi App using our PayPal deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more people we can get on it, the more as drivers become self-employed again. I would like every driver on PayPal using it. And then we can go to TFL and we can start commanding our own conditions of fitness. Because at the moment, we're letting large corporate companies choose the way we work.
Yeah, we could go on forever, couldn't we, about the deal they did, because it was just a shambles. It should have been seamless, really. You talk to, say, Jamie Owens, been taking cards for probably 10 years. You know what I mean? I think it was the old Crunch Crunch. I think you was, wasn't you, Scott? Didn't you do the old...
Yeah, I had Crunch Crunch as
crunch,
well.
Crunch Crunch. What? Which was the top layer? Who took that? The customer or the...
The customer took the top layer.
You still remember who took the top layer. But this was it. I mean, this was, people who've been doing cards for a long time. So I guess this is what we have in the trade, isn't it? But the way that was handled... And we should have come out, or it should have been 1% across the board.
I was at a meeting at the LTDA when it went through. And now we all agreed there that we needed to go. We needed to have mandatory credit cards. I mean, it's proved the fact that it's brought work back to us, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
You know, but what we shouldn't be doing is giving credit at rates that are for the benefit of others and not for us. And that's where we try pushing Steve for him to get a deal for all of the LTDA members, and he allowed it to go over to the likes of, well, everyone that's in the market now.
Yeah.
And we could have, we could have all been having 1.5% or less.
Or they could have had, the TFL could have had their own credit card.
Well, we could have used their system. I mean, and been getting even less than 1%, but we've been chosen. Oh no, we can have a regulated cab, yeah, with everything out there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the credit card option and someone else
private.
Can take a cut, yeah, we'll go down to corporate private venture for that.
Yes, and there was the bandit, I forget his name, who was on the board of TFL that was set to make millions from it, wasn't he? Couldn't make it up, could you? We're drawing to a close, and I know the guys are melting in here.
Roasting.
This will shed some pounds.
What's going on with the heat?
It does seem to have suddenly kicked in, doesn't it?
Is it warm? I never noticed.
It's like chariots in here, I tell you. Except we're fully clothed. Don't worry about that. They'll feel it when they go out. I tell you, they really feel it. So, Roche, you've been scribbling away. It's very analogue.
Yeah, well, I've got a bad habit of forgetting stuff. I was told off. Well,
there you go. He did do the knowledge. All right, okay.
Yeah, because I didn't portray the charity correctly.
Okay, all right.
So I've got to write things down. But the only thing I've missed out, really, is to thank people, because there's a lot of people out there that have tweeted us, sent us DMs saying, look, why don't you try this? Why don't you try this? This worked for me. Mick outside was talking about the John Gaunt thing. So I've got to thank a lot of people. Thank you for your time and your effort and your interest.
Well, John, Gaunt, you'll be coming on the show, so you'll have to come on.
Yeah. We'll.
And he looks completely different.
He looks very different. He's reversed his diabetes, done all sorts.
Well, there you go, something to aspire to.
You know, thank you for you, for everyone, Scott, Taxi App, the whole lot, everyone, for showing an interest and following us. And please continue to do so, because we're very committed and positive about this, and we're going to do it.
Thanks, Rosh. Anything to add, Scott, before we head out?
Well done, Rosh. And your fellow cab drivers that are pushing on forward. I mean, even if you get one of you to the top, it's an achievement.
Absolutely.
The fellow cab drivers, they're brilliant. We've got a really wonderful group now. There's five that are left. I'm going to be friends with them for the rest of my life. They are absolutely superb.
Well done. This is Ordinary World by Duran Duran. I'm having an 80s fest tonight, but... yeah, get in touch with us at londontaxiradio.co.uk. You can go on Facebook. And why wouldn't you like the Facebook page? Come on, London Taxi Radio. You can speak to us on Twitter, at London Taxi Radio, or even me, my personal account, at Sean Paul Day. Don't forget, midweek, you generally have Cab Chat, which is a great show, an absolute great show. And that show, and that's sponsored by Plan Insurance. Getting involved. But yeah, listen to that. Mick the Brit, of course, is broadcast. Broadcast, how about that for a word? He's provided a new word to the dictionary. I'm sure it will make the dictionary. Broadcast, that's on a Friday night at 10 p.m. or sometimes 11 p.m. I think it depends how late he sleeps in. But that's Mick the Brit broadcast and his Cab Chat in the middle of the week. And of course, London Taxi Radio, and we'll be evolving as well. And why wouldn't we have A View to a Kill? I think she must have been asleep, but I've got the lovely Miss Myrna Bourne just coming to the studio. How about that? It's a bit late, Myrna, you know, we're all done and dusted here. There's just us, me and you.
I know, darling, because I'm so young and I have to go to sleep early.
How about that? How about Snow? How about you sleeping for 100 years like Snow White?
Baby, yes.
I'm sure some frog will come and kiss you.
Princess and the Pea.
Princess and the Pea, yeah. Well, a can of Foster's, maybe. But you know the plans I'm making. They're still going strong, aren't they, Duran Duran? They're still touring. They've never... Who's that? Oh, I've just been... for a visual experience, I've just been shown a picture of the lovely Rosh. The lovely Rosh climbing Kilimanjaro. Who'd have thought it? I think he's still on 20 fags a day. And of course, that was the lovely Scott Wolsey. He joined me, as always, giving his updates. And got to thank again Jamie Owens. He's turned up tonight. And the programme director, Mick the Brit. And of course, Myrna Bourne, keeping order. It really is like a sauna in here. So I'll love and leave you, and I'll see you out there on the mean streets. Don't forget, come on down. It's still the lowest fuel in London. That's City Diesel at GSS. They sponsor us by being the host once a month when we go live. So come on down. Support those that support the trade. First time in years to change your skin, lover's rosy. Just a bit of late news from Scott Wolsey. He wanted to just give credit to, was it a taxi driver, Scott, yesterday?
Yeah, it was a taxi driver, Mark. He took us on a walk through Southwark, letting us know everything that went on around, well, all the history.
Well, how did this come about?
Well, he's one of our lovely taxi drivers that have gone and done the, what is it, the taxi drivers...
Oh, the blue badge, the tour guide.
The tour
guide. Yeah, okay, yeah. And I think that our very own Parker Cabby's going to be doing that, isn't he?
Our very own Kevin McNee has already qualified.
Oh, right, okay. There you go.
Very, very good. But he took us through Southwark and he gave us a wonderful tour, enlightening us. And a few of my friends that thought they were very much up on their history were taught something by a working class cabby. It was fabulous.
How about that? Southwark could do with a few more ranks.
Everywhere.
Yes, of course they could. There you go. That's Scott Wolsey. Brilliant stuff.